Hello and welcome to the Animal Intuitive Show. This is Ann Angela Webb, the Animal Intuitive. I'm so excited to be here tonight because my guest is Joanne Lefebvre Connolly. She is a veterinarian. She is a pioneer in her field. She is a holistically focused veterinarian, a medical intuitive, animal communicator, and author of Animals Teachings from Haley's Angels Methods. Before we move on, please don't forget to let your family and friends know that we're here. We're going to have a lot of great information here tonight. We don't want anyone to miss out amongst our pet-loving family and friends. So welcome, Dr. Joanne, and thank you for being here this evening.
Thank you so much for having me, Anne. It's such a pleasure.
Wonderful. So first off, Dr. Joanne, can you please tell us a little bit about your veterinary training?
It started for me at a very young age because my passion for animals started when I was really young. And I've always been fascinated by all of the animals. So I would sit outside in the grass and play with the ants and the earthworms. And I enjoyed their company much more than a lot of people company. So that definitely shaped my schooling. You know, I loved biology, always wanted to learn about all the bodies, you know, of all animals and people and the differences. So I was blessed with working in a wildlife refuge when I was a teenager for a couple summers. And my goodness, that was just amazing. And I just knew that my place was with animals. So after high school, I did the prerequisites to go into veterinary school. And that was already 18 years ago that I graduated. It was, it was not easy, but when you love what you do, it's worth all the tears and sweat and sleepless nights. And even today, I just love animals so much. I definitely can spend a few nights without sleep to help them, you know, to work hard for them.
The dedication that's involved in that is incredible. So how did all the training and everything you went through, how did that evolve into Haley's Angels Veterinary Services?
Well, Haley's Angels Veterinary Services was truly a gift from heaven, a gift from Haley after she departed this world. It was not something I had planned, but the best things in life are not planned by us. They're planned by the spirits, the universe, you know, greater forces that seem to know more what we need in life. So Haley was a rescued four-legged friend that my husband lived with at the time. And when I met my husband, Haley welcomed me into the family. It took her a little while. She smelled a veterinarian, but she warmed up to me and thought that I was worthy of her companionship. And she thought she could make me a better person and a better veterinarian, which she did. So Haley turned 14. That was 12 years ago. So she became an old girl and we had to help her pass at home. Luckily, we were able to help her pass at home. We had to make the decision to euthanize her, but because I was a veterinarian, I could bring the medications home and save her the stress of going into the car to the hospital. And so I was really devastated, you know, to lose her. But then everything changed and people started calling me to help them with their pets. And it was a friend of a friend who needed help with the euthanasia of their friend. And it was really not planned. And I was really scared. And oh my God, what is going on? I don't think I can handle this emotionally. And I didn't have the self-confidence and I didn't know how to go about starting a business or any of those things. But the more I would brush it off, the more signs and synchronicities would happen in my life. And I realized, you know, I had to surrender one night and just said, Haley, my God, if you are truly there pushing me in the butt, like it seems like you are, please make this go well, you know, help me start this service because animals need it. And I want to do a good job. I want to grow into, you know, a better version of myself. And that was many years ago. And since then, I've helped over 10,000 families help their pets pass at home. And it's been the biggest blessing. I've learned things that I didn't learn in vet school. I've learned amazing teachings from animals, and my life has changed forever thanks to Haley and all the other animals that she sent to me.
That's an incredible, incredible journey. And pretty interesting that Haley actually was your husband's cat family member. So that you know, that's how this all came to be, related to your marriage and meeting your husband. And so all of that. And thank you for those of you who have joined us. Hi, Lori. Thank you for saying hi. And also feel free to, as I mentioned, let people know we're here. And if you came in a little bit after we started, I did mention to enter hashtag win in the comment section below. And at the end, we're going to be doing the drawing for that free downloadable ebook of the Haley's Animals teachings. So that's going to be, it's a great book. I've read it. And please feel free to enter your comments. We are going to be doing Q&A. So with Dr. Joanne. So once you started Haley's Animals, how did that lead into doing intuitive medicine and animal communication? You talk about that in your book being for the mind, body, and soul. So how did that all evolve?
Again, synchronicities, you know, running into people that I didn't plan on running into, the law of attraction. It seems like, you know, when you set the intention, and my heart became really open, and Haley reminded me that I need to not just use my brain like they teach you in vet school. You know, there is a heart too. And so many medical decisions cannot be made with your brain. You need your heart and you need both. So spending time at home with those families really helped me, without even realizing what was happening, really helped me stay in my heart and really connect with those animals in a different way than what I was used to, you know, from veterinary school and medical training, and spending time with families and really discussing with them, well, how did you adopt your pet in the first place? And to my surprise, most people would say, oh, I didn't choose my pet. He chose me. And this is how, you know, we found each other, or I was not looking for an animal and this kitty cat just followed me home and we've grown together and bonded. And then one of the fascinating things that I had already noticed since I had graduated from vet school, but I didn't quite put it together, was how a lot of animals end up sharing the same physical disease as their owners. And so it all made sense. Finally, you know, it's like, well, of course, we're sharing life together. We're sharing stressful situations. We find each other to share this journey and to support one another. So the bodies, our body and our pet's body will definitely go through the same things. You know, animals are there to support us unconditionally. So they are little sponges and they will absorb some of the emotions that we're feeling. So there was a lot of eye-opening moments. And then how do we make the decision to euthanize an animal? You know, I was always fascinated asking families, well, how do you know? You know, people would say, well, my pet gave me the look. My pet spoke to me. You know, I felt it in my heart. I have this gut feeling or this dream that came to me. And or even a loved one, like I lost my mother who loved cardinal birds. And now that I have this, you know, my pet is dying, I see cardinal birds everywhere. And I think it's a sign from my mother that this is the right decision. You know, so all kinds of different ways to communicate with our animals, with nature, with the universe, that really completed medicine, you know, and it just made so much sense to me. I'm like, wow, yeah, there is more to it. And then I ran into some animal communicators, and I took some classes with them to really understand how they would go about it, and really tune in, you know, with all the cells of my body so I could be better and really use all of these tools in the hospital, but at home. And now I'm at the point where I feel, you know, like we should all be connected on all those levels at all times in our lives, not just, okay, let's do a communication, or, you know, really just being that channel of communication between Mother Earth and Father Sky, and all being one, living as oneness with animals, but people also at every single moment in our lives, because energy shifts quickly. And if information changes, and 1 second the answer is one thing, but then it shifts into something else because you've made a different decision, or you've shifted your energy, or you've understood something and you're growing, and now we're at another level. So the more in tune we are at every minute of our life, we can adjust and prevent illnesses, prevent accidents, and help each other. Because, you know, you meet people and something random comes out of your mouth, like you have a message for them, or you don't know exactly why you're saying something, but the other person is like, oh my God, like you just answered a question that I had. And vice versa, you know, some people will say things to me and I'm like, wow, thank you. Like, I needed to hear this. This is the answer I've been waiting for.
A connection, yeah. And that kind of leads into my next question, which is, you know, maybe you could talk to us about how you guide families in tuning in with their pets and themselves, nature, universe, to make those better, fair, and more personalized medical decisions that you talked about in your book.
And, you know, the first thing I want to say is a lot of people are already doing it, whether they know it or not, or often they know it, but they don't want to tell anybody because they're afraid of course, we live in a very judgmental society. So I open that door, whether I'm at the hospital or again in home, especially obviously at home, people are more comfortable. So they will tell me amazing stories. But at the hospital, I love it too when people are, they don't know, you know, exactly what decisions to make. And I just tell them, tell me what's on your heart. Tell me, do you have, what is your pet telling you? And really listening with our heart. And what's even more amazing is when there is other pets in the household. And then they give us answers, you know, and I'll give you an example. I had this elderly dog that had some arthritis and had some seizures, and the owner was conflicted between, well, is it time to euthanize him or not? And he came to me for guidance, and I was conflicted too. You know, I could go either way. I needed, my brain could not make that decision. So I really needed to tap in and speak with this animal, like from heart to heart. And I started feeling like, oh God, if I let him go home, I started feeling terrible inside. Like, okay, this is not what this pet wants. And then the owner mentioned that he was going on a trip, a couple month long trip. And he was really worried about this dog. So another little piece of the puzzle came along. But then what really gave it away, like what brought me and the owner so much peace, is when the owner said, well, you know, this other dog, which is the brother, and I knew the brother, and the brother had a lot of health issues, and he hated to come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. But that day, he insisted to jump in the car, and he was coming to the hospital. And so the owner said, you know, they're so bonded. His brother could not let him come. Like, he wanted to be here, and he knows that this is the last time he's here to be a moral support. And so we both just like our bodies relaxed, and we felt so at peace with the decision. And still today, when I think back about the situation, we made the right decision. We all connected, you know, so it's a team effort, because sometimes I'll get some piece of the information, the owner gets some piece, the animals chip in, and together we're like, okay, yeah, this is the right thing we need to do right now.
Okay. What a blessing for these families to have you there to support them in this way, and to make this decision in a way that can, no matter what, it's going to be difficult, but you know that there is some peace with it, you know, feeling like you went through the whole process of it.
And being fair, like you said, really personalizing our medical decisions. And because we're not treating the disease, we're treating the animal. And that's such a huge piece of the puzzle. Same thing for us, you know, you treat the human patient. We're all so different. And when people say, well, I've got cancer, what do I do next? Like asking the doctor, well, there is as many answers as there are people dealing with this disease. Why did this happen in the first place, you know? And that's where this process starts. Why did you get sick? Why did I get sick in the first place? And trying to figure out where we went out of balance. And I talk about it in depth in my book. There is many answers to that question. And it really requires a lot of soul searching to pinpoint what led us to this situation. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who was into a really bad car accident, and we're close enough. I was able to ask her, hey, what frame of mind were you in? What happened? You know, do you know why this happened to you? And she says, oh, I, of course I know. I was so mad at my parents. That's when she was a little younger, you know, teenager. She was so mad at her parents. She was leaving town. She was done. Like, okay, I'm going on my own. I don't need my parents. And the universe stopped her and say, hey, wake up, girl. Like, your parents are your biggest fans. You need to keep that relationship. You need to heal that relationship. They're much better, loyal people than the friends you're trying to leave town with. So, you know, we learn through pain. We learn faster through pain. But really, I see that they are always small signs of warning of, hey, you're out of balance. Fix it before it gets bigger, because we're going to get bigger warning. And then, yeah, we can get hurt to a point where it can definitely take our life. And when we could have understood and learned, and, you know, so it's amazing, because when you start paying attention, it's there, you know, all those signs are there.
So with your clients who come in maybe before it's gotten to the end stages, is that just sort of part of how you work with people? Do you find that the people that come to you are open to that kind of dialogue, and their own issues do come up? And
often, yes. And sometimes, you know, other people just who have no idea of what the conversation will be like, but they embrace it. You know, a lot of them, when I open that door, they're like, oh, thank God, because I had this feeling and I didn't want to say anything. And I'm like, no, please, we need, you know, a lot of people know inside which path they want to go, or what they feel like their pet is telling them. And some animals, they don't want to be helped. You know, it's going to be too stressful, or we can't give them IV fluids, or we can't give them medications. You know, some animals you just can't medicate. So honoring the patient's wishes and really the dignity, to me, that's so important, because we all have been patients. Like, we all know how it feels to go to the hospital and being poked, and it can be extremely traumatizing. Medical torture is a huge, it drives me quite crazy. You know, there's too much of this going on, because the medical system has become so good at keeping the body alive when it's not benefiting the body. And I do believe that we have exit doors. You know, there is a timing of death, and I see it with animals. Even science has proven, there was a study done in people, that we're more susceptible to die on our birthday. Mm-hmm. And it makes so much sense. And I see it with animals too. The Christmas puppy, 14 years later, it's Christmas time, and the puppy is really sick, or the 14-year-old, you know, is really sick. And that's another clue for me to say, hey, we need to pay attention to this, because this is exactly, you know, the cycle of life is kind of ending. There is a life chapter ending. When I see people giving birth to their first child, let's say, you know, a brand new life chapter beginning, a lot of time an animal will take that exit door. You know, it's just time to die, because the life mission has been accomplished. There's a baby now to take care of. You know, mom has a newborn to take care of, and this animal was her first trial, you know, has taught her how to be a good mom. Mm-hmm. So when you look into what's the life purpose of my animal, and looking at your life like a book, a series of life chapter, it helps. It gives us so many insights, so many information. So it allows us to make better decisions, to understand all those signs and synchronicities that are happening.
Yeah. Yeah. And sort of anecdotally, I wonder if you find this with with animals too. They say that, I think, I'm not sure if I'm going to switch this up, but men or women are a month out from their birthday, and the other gender is 2 months out. Is statistically, like, I don't know if you've noticed that in animals, that there's a male, female, that it's like a month from their birthday would be men and 2 months is women, or vice versa. I can't remember which
as
one.
As far as
like a pattern in
dying, or
yeah, from their birthday. Yeah.
Okay. I can't say for sure. There is, we deal with a lot of rescued animals too, so there hasn't been a set birthday.
Right.
I always feel like there is, like, I remember a dog that was adopted during 4th of July weekend, like a puppy during 4th of July weekend. And that was, again, like 12 years later. It was 4th of July weekend and the dog was having a major crisis. And when they mentioned that to me, oh my God, like it hit me. I'm like, well, you know, yes, of course we could rush your pet to the emergency room, maybe have to do surgery and this and that. But let's look at all the signs. And this is a big one. The fact that, you know, we don't want your pet to go through more suffering if, you know, we can really tune in with all the signs that we have and tuning in with your pet. And so I tell people, ask your pet to give you a sign, you know, talk to your pet, because they might not sense all the words, understand the words, but they sense the energy. And it's been so powerful. When we're on the fence about, is it time to euthanize or not? Then, you know, people will, I ask them to give permission to their pet to follow their path. And it's hard. Of course, we have to be selfless in saying, God, I love you, but I don't want you to suffer. So if it's your time to go, just go, giving permission. Or let me know, give me a clear sign that you need my help, and then we can do the euthanasia. But so many times people would call me back, you know, because I'm waiting on call, not sure if I'm going to have to go help the animal. And then people call me like the next day, or sometimes it's a few hours later, and say, oh my God, I spoke to my pet and he just died. He just let go so quickly. And that happened with some of my animals too. And just, I had one of the last, the oldest chicken standing, just a few months ago. We'd had a lot of chickens in our family that we've rescued. But this last one, she was a sweetheart, and I just did not want to have to euthanize her. I wanted her to go, and I felt like she could go. And I just begged her with all my soul, and it took her an hour, and she was comfortable. She was sleeping in her bed, and an hour later, and I left her alone, because I feel like it's easier to die when you're alone. I see it in animals. People get upset because, oh my God, I just left the house to go, you know, get groceries or run an errand, and I came back and my pet died. Well, that happens for people also. It's easier to die when the bond, the family is not there, just crying and keeping that bond tight. You know, it's easier to just take care of yourself when everybody else is kind of giving you some space. So I try to do that with my animals too.
So I'm just kind of curious, listening to this, about how other veterinarians respond to you. Do you have a
I don't, you know, I don't advertise, you know, people, I try to be really subtle about it, but I end up helping them with their own pets a lot. And because they hit the wall of medicine, you know, where, okay, we've done all the blood work and all the tests, and they're still as puzzled. And veterinarians, just like the rest of the population, is learning also to become better human beings, to become more balanced, to become more in tune with their hearts. And so it's harder when you've gone through school and your brain is so fired up, you know, you're just being taught to process and think. But veterinarians hit that same wall of, okay, you know, I don't know what else to do here. So, and I'll tell you this amazing story of one of my colleagues who's a good friend of mine also. And her dog was 10 years old at the time, and she was in acute renal failure, and her numbers were just through the roof. Like, usually those animals die. She had done everything that medicine had to offer. Her dog was on IV fluids at the hospital and medications. And that was like 4 days, 5 days later, she calls me and she's in a complete panic. And she keeps telling me, she can't die. She can't die. There's no way she can die. I'm not going to be able to live. So as I'm listening to this, I'm like, oh my God, I know that the only way we have a chance here at saving her dog is if she processes the information and make peace with the fact that her dog will die someday, making peace with the dying process. And we did that. I spoke with her and I made her realize that your pet, you don't have control over your pet's destiny. You have to embrace her company and really allow her to follow her journey. So my colleague was able to talk to her pet and really find peace in her heart and the strength to say, okay, fine, you do what you have to do. I love you. I want you to stay, but it's up to you. God, and it's giving me chills right now, you know, because it was so powerful. And when she started to have that conversation with her pet and just shifting her energy, her dog healed, not only healed, but lived another 4 years with zero problem. I mean, her kidney disease was cured, and I'm still amazed. I'm like, wow, you did so great, you know? And so I have a few amazing examples like this. You know, this other woman, just another example that the power of the mind, okay? It's amazing how connected we are. So this woman comes to see me. I'm like a third opinion, okay? She has already seen a couple other veterinarians, and her dog is actively dying of severe intestinal disease, and she's lost so much protein that she's getting edema because her gut is no longer keeping her protein. It's leaking. And that is really severe. That is like end stage, really. So she comes to me and she's extremely non-receptive, you know, and I'm the third person who tells her the only option that we have here is prednisone. And she keeps saying, I hate prednisone. It's such an evil drug. I hate prednisone. And a lot of people hate prednisone, but it's a lifesaver. You know, it's no drug is perfect. We have to choose whatever is needed for as little time as needed. You know, you can always have side effects, but this little dog is dying. And I can just feel that she's not ready to die. And we have a chance at life. And all I need to do is to get through the owner to give up that just hard frame of mind and be vulnerable and understand that, okay, maybe she's wrong. Maybe prednisone can be helpful. So she finally, you know, I'm telling her straight, your dog is going to die if we don't try her on prednisone. Mm-hmm. It was amazing, the shift in this woman's energy. And I'm still so proud of her today because her dog not only made a complete turnaround. Usually these dogs, when they have severe intestinal illness, they have to stay on prednisone for life. You know, it's rare that we can get them off of it. But this little dog, after 3 months of being on prednisone, she was doing so great that she started having some really rare, it's not even side effects of prednisone, but it basically started having too much hair growing, like symptoms when there is too much cortisol in the body. It's not a side effect. It's just like too much cortisol. And so when she started having those symptoms, I'm like, okay, her body has plenty of prednisone on board. She does not need it anymore. And we stopped it. That was like 8 years ago. I mean, and her dog was fine. And this woman is changed forever, you know? So I've learned, and I was a person who liked to be extremist too, you know, like little drama, you know, we like to be dramatic and say, oh, I hate this, or have, you know, being really strong opinionated on things. And I've learned through all of this, you know, that balance is always the key. Nature teaches us balance. You need water. Too much water will kill you. Not enough water will kill you too. We need air. We need heat. Too much heat will kill us. Not enough heat will kill us. So it's really balance to me is the most important goal in life, mm-hmm. in all aspects. And medicine is the same thing, you know. Is surgery needed in this situation? Yes or no? And we have to really feel our way. And one answer that is right for you might be wrong for me and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So, and that is so empowering.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and this kind of relates, I was just thinking, you know, something that you talk about in your book was helping pets just live better lives in general and having, you know, the maximum health and happiness in their lives. So you kind of are sort of talking about that, but I just wanted to explore that a little deeper.
How can we stay healthy is feeding our soul. Feeding our soul, not just food, but our passions. You know, what do you live for? And what does your animal live for? So I teach people, pick the one word that describes each of your animal, because you might have 50 cats, and I have a few clients who have 50 cats, but bless their hearts, you know, they're rescuing everybody. But each cat has special needs and a special interest. You know, we have one of our cats who love music, and we have one of our cats who needs to go out, and that's just the way it is. He was getting constipated, staying inside. He was not thriving. He was bored out of his mind. Yeah. He was grumpy, miserable, beating up on the rest of the animals and on us too. He would attack us, you know. He was not thriving. And so when we're so rigid again at saying, oh, all cats should be inside, it's so much safer. Well, it depends, you know. If you go out, of course it could kill you, but if you stay inside and you're bored out of your mind, that might kill you too, because I've seen it both ways. So again, finding that right balance for each animal so they thrive to the maximum. And I see, I have a lot of patients who are therapy pets who will go to school to help children read to them. You know, children are reading to the animals because there is no judgment. Animals are full of love. And so children thrive on that. And those animals just love to be around children. I've got other animals, other patients who are therapy pets. They go to nursing homes and they thrive in that environment. But if you have an animal who is a homebody and his life purpose is just to be on one-on-one with his owner, mm-hmm. if you take him to a nursing home, it's going to kill him. It's going to be way too overwhelming. He's going to lose way too much energy, and that's not going to be good. He's going to soak up all the diseases of, you know, these people, the energy that he's surrounded by. So same for every animal.
Yeah, I feel like your examples are talking about my animals. Everyone, because I have a cat that's like that. She was started out her life outside, and she was actually very feral when I got her, but she became very domesticated, but at the same time will just stare at the door and cry. So I have developed ways of like protecting her, but she'll go out. But you know, I sometimes just sit out there and watch her, but just to let her walk around in the grass and feel the earth. And
yeah,
just trying to be in tune with them. And I have a dog who's a therapy dog, but I could tell that it wasn't her deal. Just so we stopped doing visits with her. And so it's like listening, just like you're saying, listening to them and understanding that they're individuals, and we have to listen to them and understand that they have their own personalities, just like us. So I was also wondering, and I think you're talking about this, it's sort of a thread throughout, but you mentioned helping pet parents speed up their animals' healing. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
So just like the examples that I gave, you know, when you become involved, we have so much power over healing and dying. You know, if it's time to focus on quality of death, we can facilitate that process for our animal by, again, communicating with them. But when it comes to quality of life, just like my colleague did with her dog in kidney failure, and this other woman who helped save her own dog's life by swallowing her pride and becoming more balanced, you know. So it's really when the key here is just to not be full of ego, or being just looking at yourself. You know, it's okay to be vulnerable. We all make mistakes. We're all here to grow. And when you embrace the teachings and you want to learn and you say, God, I want to be a better person, you know, so you work on yourself, it right away, it shows in everything that you're doing. It shifts the energy, and your animals are picking up on that so quickly. And I do feel like some animals are suicidal, if I might say. If you're, you know, not giving them enough time, your routine is all shambled, or you're just not home, you're working too much, and your animals are going to have behaviors that are just not healthy. I've had a client whose dog got hit by a car, and she swears she was getting divorced. She was leaving. She was moving into an apartment, and her dog could not follow her. But her dog was going to stay with her Hicks husband. But her dog was really her dog, you know. She was his person. And the day she left the house, her dog just ran in front of a car. Wow. And she felt like there was no coincidence. It was an exit door for him and saying, okay, this life chapter is over. My life mission is over. I took care of mom. Our paths are taking, you know, different ways and I'm leaving. My own dog, who's a, you know, 7-year-old eternal puppy, went through a phase. He's not one that eats toys, but we went through a phase when, again, my husband and I, you know, we were kind of out of balance and we were sleep deprived, and we went through a phase of just needing to readjust. And this puppy started eating stuff. Like, he started chewing and he swallowed a couple pieces of toy. And I'm like, no, there is no way. Like, I could see through how this all went down.
Yeah.
And I had to have a talk with him and say, no, you have your place here. This is, we're a pack and we're going to make this work and we're going to readjust. And when he came along, he's 7 years old now, but when he came along, we had a 6-year-old Chihuahua who we had rescued, and he was used to being the king of the house. And his throne, he got really kicked off his throne when the puppy came along, and we almost lost him. And Yogi felt so rejected that, how dare you bring this stranger into my kingdom? And we had, you know, he had lost a couple pounds, and we're like, this is not good. Like, we need to put the puppy in a separate room, focus on Yogi, making sure we have enough time one-on-one with him. And the puppy is just full of life and he's taking too much room. You know, we need to find that balance for everybody and making everybody understand that they were all rescued and they all need to learn to share and be tolerant in one another. And they're learning through all those things too. You know, of course we wish we could just focus our energy on just the one, but that's not our life purpose. Is, I mean, they find us. I never have to look for any animal. They find my husband or I, and we've always had over 10 animals, and now there's a pig living with us, and it's like, how does this happen? But we discovered the life mission that, and what they bring into our lives, you know, and the pig is now a little vegan activist. I'm vegan. And so we take him to the beach and he walks on the leash. And I didn't realize what was going to happen, but of course people just come flocking, you know, to him, and he's such a smart boy. He'll sit for food, so people are just like in awe of him. And then they say, "Oh my God, I'll never eat bacon ever again. Now that I met Wilbur, I'll never eat pig, you know, no ham." And so I see how he thrives on that, you know. So finding what makes each of your animal thrive, and that's how we stay healthy.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just wondering, in your practice, it sounds like you spend more time with people, talking with people.
It can't be one. We need to slow the pace, of course, because otherwise we can't dig deep enough. Absolutely. That's a must. You know, we all need to spend more time working as a team with our doctor. And whether, veterinarian, medical doctor, anybody else, you know, people like you who I refer a lot of people to, intuitive, you know, animal communicators. And it's a team effort. We're all a different channel. And I tell people, follow your intuition. You need to filter through your own channel because you're the pet owner. Like, nobody will live your life. So you have to be involved. You can't just reach out and say, well, whatever they say. No, because ultimately it's your journey. And your energy is impairing other people from helping you. You know, nobody else can save you. You have to really be involved and participate to this communication. And so then that's great. You know, then we're all on board. Everybody is doing the best they can. And those results are amazing.
Yeah, it's a holistic approach. It takes so much into consideration. It's not just a quick, like, sounds like office visit and then, you know, quick, make a decision. I'll, you know, let me know.
You know, it makes no sense. And I know that's kind of the crazy world that we live in, fast pace and making money. And oh my God, it's so empty. You know, most veterinarians and MDs also are so not fulfilled. And I have a few clients who are retired MDs and like old people who used to do home visits way back in the days when it was a thing. Mm-hmm. And now it's no longer a thing. And it's very sad. It brings them so much sadness because they see the amount of mental illness and depression and compassion fatigue and just lack of fulfillment for these doctors. And that's a problem because everybody who goes through medical training love to help. You know, you do this because you love animals, people, you want to bond with them and help them on their journey. And I see that the trend is coming back because some MDs are speaking up and I feel like we've pushed it to the extreme. And veterinarians, same thing, you know, we all want fulfillment. So thankfully, thanks to Haley, you know, and the in-home euthanasia service, a lot of veterinarians have joined forces because they've seen me, you know, my service, they would refer to me a lot. And they reach a point where they just want to do it themselves because they see how much it's feeding their own soul to be able to help these animals at home. And I want more veterinarians to help because it's beautiful, but also we need help. You know, there's so much driving involved and it takes more time, obviously, because you're spending more time with family. But it's the way to go. That's the way to live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can only imagine after investing that much time, energy, money, everything in schooling to then just feel like you're just kind of just going along, like just getting depleted and there is no fulfillment in it. What's the point? You know,
exactly.
Yeah. So, and do you find that you're getting some people having you talk or, I mean, like things like this? So
I did speak. I did speak to the state veterinary association a few years back. That was in Arizona. That was in Phoenix, and it was great. It was really well received. It's definitely controversial. You know, a lot of people just don't know what to make of it, or they can't relate because they haven't really experienced it. But I see that the more veterinarians go through difficult situations with their own pets, they realize that we need to do more because we don't have all the answers. And a lot of now with social media, yes, the word is spreading greatly and it's beautiful. So, the world is what it is. It's going to take some time, but I really feel good now about speaking up and sharing my experiences because there is a lot of, it benefits a lot of families and that's who I'm doing this for, you know. And then ripples, you know, little ripples, these people will reach out to other people who I can't reach out directly to and planting the seed. And it might take a few years, but they get to that level. And after, let's say they've gone through a lot of traumatic experiences with an animal, I've helped quite a few families who felt extreme guilt for how they took care of their previous animal because of there was a lot of medical torture involved. There was a lot of drastic life-saving attempt surgeries that turned wrong, you know, that the animal never got better. And that was a lot of extra suffering. So then people want another approach and they're researching, okay, how can I do this better now? Because living with that guilt, it's not easy. So I do some grief counseling too, to bring people peace of mind that, hey, we're all humans. We're all needing to make mistakes to grow. Your animal know that your heart was in the right place. You know, you tried the best you could with the knowledge that you had. But yes, let's take it to the next level here.
Yeah. And that's my story too. That's kind of how I got into the animal communication world. It was something I had done as a child, but didn't realize it until I was invited to a class. But yeah, looking back at the things that happened with my animals that I regretted and just didn't have the exposure to the right information and the right people. And it's a journey, this life, and we have to kind of let go of that guilt so that then we can move on to help our animals now and other animals. And animals do teach us so much.
Ultimately, I always find that they are the best teachers. So whenever you're conflicted, whenever anybody is conflicted between the brain and their heart, and listen to your animal, you know, that is always the answer. Just listen to your animal and take it one little step at the time. Don't try to figure it all out for what are we going to do in 2 weeks. You know, mm-hmm. when an animal is sick, is next step. Just let's figure out the next step and let's leave it at that, because things will change. The energy will shift. There will be new signs coming obvious, and then you'll be able to make that decision. So don't force any answers. Let it happen one slow step at a time.
Yeah, that's such great advice. It's, you know, sometimes the anxiety and worry and panic can make people feel so pressured to know exactly what to do. And they just, like you're saying, just have to take it one step at a time. I find that when I'm working with people too, that let's just take a step back, and it's like therapy 101. And it sounds like you're doing therapy in a lot of ways with people. You're serving as a counselor.
And it's learning to live better, you know, to die better and to live better, and just to change our outlook on life and what is this journey? Why are we here, you know, on Earth? And because I've dealt with so many deaths, I feel like life is very fragile, and it can end at any day, you know. So I'm very grateful for each day. And I tell people, really soak up the fun. You know, your animals are keeping you in the now. And remember to keep this fun while you can. So take it slow. Also slow down. And when your animal is meowing, to pay attention to them, just stop everything you're doing and really focus on and be grateful for that amazing moment and how your pet, again, found you. And the precious energy, the precious moment, it's a really a divine, you know, time that we're sharing that will be gone in no time. I mean, life is short. And so animals have definitely made me a better person. There is no doubt there.
Yeah. And they will help us to slow down, because if you really love them, you have to. In order to really listen to an animal, you can't be going so quickly. They'll just force you to, okay, I'm just going to have to. I'm going to have to stop and listen in spite of myself. Yeah. So, and that helps us in so many ways too. So also you have something called Compassion Fest. Can you tell us about that?
My husband is a singer, songwriter, and him and I, so I turned vegan when Haley died too. My whole life just shifted quickly. I realized again, like, what is this world? And a lot of things doesn't make sense. And my husband has always also looked at it like, oh my God, we could do better. You know, we can really build a better world and a new world. And that's how I see it. You know, I want to be a veterinarian of the new world of, this is not good enough. We can do better. So my husband and I started having those Compassion Fest, so day-long events, to share with everybody, to raise awareness and really to care for all animals, humans, and our planet, to live as one, as oneness. So we are all connected. And when you walk the earth, be careful, you know, each life counts, and just paying attention to just, you don't want to kill anything. You know, you really are finding that you become wanting to save all the insects because they matter too. And bees are going extinct. So it's just shifting our mindset to, this life and this planet is beautiful and it's so precious that we need to really embrace it and take good care of it, take good care of Mother Earth, who gives us so much. So we ran out of steam a little bit. There is an event on YouTube. We need help. So ultimately, whoever is interested in joining, we can have those events anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, and we would join up, you know. And there is on my website, on the YouTube link, is one of the Compassion Fest that we had. And we bring in a bunch of different animals. There was a serval cat that joined us. He was a rescued, and he came to this facility. We were at the casino, and we had his beautiful room, and we had some chickens who came to do agility training, 101 chickens. I mean, they're so smart. So it's a beautiful celebration to really build this new world of, hey, we can do this. You know, it's a team effort, but together we can really make this world what it should be and what we want it to be.
It's beautiful. And you, now practice out of, is it Florida now?
Yep, we're in Florida. Yes, we needed some grass. We were in the desert for 11 years, but the life chapter ended and all the signs pushed us to Florida. And I had a horse waiting for me. That was my childhood dream of rescuing a horse. And as soon as we got to Florida, first conversation I had with my new neighbor, she says to me, "Are you ready for your horse? Because I know who he is." And I'm like, "What? Like, how do you know all this?" And it was love at first sight. Actually, this horse helped me heal my allergies. I had severe horse allergies during vet school. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, I did some past life regression. I was talking to my mom, who's very intuitive, and we were just trying to figure out why I had such bad allergies. And I saw a movie play in my head of when I was a Native American, when I lived as a Native. I saw the white man capture our wild horses, and I burst into tears. And every time I tell this story, my God, I could just cry a river because I felt I lived it. You know, I relate so much to the Native American culture. My hair has never been so long. Now I'm getting all tanned in Florida. Like, I'm starting to look, I feel like who I was as a Native in a past life. It's so powerful. But oh my God, it healed my allergies, because a lot of allergies are caused by an emotional shock. So when mm-hmm. I would go to the barn, I would cry and my nose would get all stuffed up. Like, I'm crying, like I'm really sad. And so that made so much sense to me. And right away when I realized where it came from, my body started shifting. But I knew I needed a horse and I wanted to rescue a horse. I felt like, you know, there was some horse out there who needed me. And this horse was a retired competition horse, and he was, you know, neglected. He needed a second chance at life. And him and I just lived like in the old days, like when I was a Native, and he was just grazing all day long. I never asked him to do anything. He would swim in the pond. We have this beautiful pond in Florida, and he healed himself. He could just be a horse, mm-hmm. and no human, just forcing him to do anything. So that healed me and him. And actually, the way he died, a couple years after we were together, I had a dream one night. And he had been dealing with arthritis. You know, I had him on pain medications, but he was doing really well. And that night I had a dream where him and I were flying in heaven. He had turned into an angel, and he had beautiful white wings, and he was just shining. And I was just holding on to his neck, and we were flying all over heaven. You know, we were both light and happy and healed and young. And when I woke up, I went to the barn and he was done. You know, he was not moving and he was in a lot of pain. And I just knew inside that there was no point in trying any medical, you know, procedures, no medications. He was telling me, "I'm ready to go home." Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had to euthanize him, and that was really hard. That was the hardest euthanasia I had to do, because a horse is just, he was Majestic, and that was his name, Majestic. But, you know, I knew that I honored his wishes, and he brought so much joy in my life, and he healed me, and I healed him. And I hope I'll see him again. You know, I do think I will. Our paths will cross again. But so.
And what a gift to have a dream like that, just to confirm.
Exactly.
Out to see.
Exactly. It brought me the peace I needed, because I needed help. I needed strength. That was really hard. But I knew he was telling me, you know, "Hey, it's okay. We're going to do this together." And that was just him and I. I didn't want anybody else there. And
so difficult, but also so beautiful. It's
at least we have that option of, yeah, ending suffering. And he kept his dignity, which is so important. And we used to make him popsicle. We would freeze the rind of the watermelon, and it's so hot in Florida that we would call him his popsicle. We'd just give him like chunks. So I just held him rotten. He just ate popsicle the whole time until he fell asleep. You know, it was just a beautiful ceremony of life, of the blessing that our path crossed. And I had to grow a lot to get to that point, because moving to Florida was a huge, I had to close a huge, huge life chapter that I had, you know. So it really pushed me out of my comfort zone. And I really had to work hard on getting to that level of, again, finding my balance and saving my own life, my husband, our family. We were ready to we needed balance really badly. So we moved to Florida, and the biggest blessing, you know, my childhood dream, right, my horse was there waiting for me. It's like, good job. You chose life. You know, you chose yourself. And so it's really amazing.
Yeah. And then knowing when that part of the journey is coming to a close, even though it never really does, because I'm sure that you take so much with you, and Majestic, is it? Lives mm-hmm. in your heart. So is there anything we didn't talk about that you think that you'd want to mention or expand on?
Well, I love to get feedback. So if you're interested and you want to read my book, there is a lot more, you know, information, and my website is haleysangels.com, and you can send me an email. You can call me, text me. I'm on, you know, social media. So all the links are on my website, haleysangels.com. And don't be shy. You know, I love to hear amazing stories of what you've been through and how your animal has taught you different lessons, and how you've communicated with your animal to heal or to, again, help your animal go to heaven. I'm writing book number 2, actually, because I have more to share. So if you have any amazing stories that you want to be in the second book, please reach out, and that'll be wonderful.
And we, you know, if you have any questions for me, you can always go to my website, intuitivetouchanimalcare.com, and reach me there, or email me at Ann@intuitivetouchanimalcare. So thank you so much, Dr. Joanne. This has been so enlightening and refreshing. And I also just feel like it's hopeful. You know, the sort of veterinarian of, as you call it, the new world. I think that's a great way to put it. And the future of veterinary medicine kind of sounds like, oops, I lost you there. Hold on. Like, instead of actually the future, sorry about that. Instead of the future, it's actually kind of sounds like if we're going back to the old ways. But hopefully it is more of our future. So this has been wonderful. And please spread the word about Dr. Joanne and Compassion Fest. If you're interested in hosting a Compassion Fest, please reach out too. So thank you so much
for having me. It's been a pleasure. And yes, I do have hopes for the future. So we'll keep building it. We'll keep building our vision.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Good night, everybody. God bless.
I know how much it